You're listening Across the Border. That's the name of this program. And I think I'm just going to take a little diversion for the next hour, having finished 50 chapters of Psalms. I don't want to move on into the book because it's a good place to bookmark it to pick it up next time. But no, I just wanted to share some things that I'm working on behind the scenes when I get a few minutes every day. I'm working on a script for a video, and having to do with prophecy. I want to bring all of the elements of prophecy. I believe the Heavenly Father has revealed a lot to me and given me eyes to rightly divide the word. And so maybe I thought I'd just talk about some of those things. I've got pages and pages of notes. Plus, I have more notes in my head than anything else. The prophecies in Daniel are fairly interesting. We went through a study on that, and I discovered some things during that. Was talking about the translation of the prophecy of the 2300 days, and most people believe that that's 2300 years. And I don't understand why nobody has looked into that as being literal days, why everyone believes it has to be years. And I think they come on the error there. You know, I'm going to open up the phone lines if anyone has the number they want to call in, because I'm just going to ramble on here for an hour to fill an hour about some of these things. So if you want to, if you have some comments or anything on, you know, what I'm talking about, that would be fine. And I'm going to look at the chat room once in a while there. Yes. Hello, CFF. Okay. But anyways, the 2300 days, and there's these prophecies like the 2300 days, and then there's the 70 weeks. And the word weeks is actually translated from a word that means it would be better translated as sevens. Because when we read the English version and it says weeks, most people think of days. And so when they read the 2300 days prophecy in English, it says days. But in the Hebrew, they're two different words. So that means they're not the same. You understand that, don't you? If something is different, it's not the same. And it was translated differently, but most people, when they think of a week, they think of 7 days, and then they see days, so they think it's the same thing, but it's not. So they should be translated differently. And if we could translate it literally, the 70 weeks would be 77s. That's right, 77s, having nothing to do with a week of 7 24-hour days. But properly, we know that those are weeks of years, because history has proven it out. Everything that was prophesied within that 490-year period, or the 70 weeks, has come to pass and came to pass in a 490-year period. So we know that in that case, it is referring to years, 77s of years, 490 years. And all the prophecy allotted to that has come to pass, regardless of those that believe that the 70th week does not follow the 69th week. I still haven't figured out how they came to that conclusion yet. And I don't know of any math book that would tell you that 70 does not come after 69, but it comes at way, way after a bunch of other numbers in between. Now, there's nothing in the scripture that supports that theory. It sounded good when Darby came, well, whoever came up with it, who cares who came up with it? It's just not supported with scripture. But the 2300 days prophecy is different. The word is Ereb in the Hebrew, and it is used for day in the text, but it refers to a literal day. It refers to the transition period from one day to another in the Hebrew. So what I found out was where is that? I need that reference. I guess I didn't write that reference down. But in Ezra, if you look in Ezra, you'll find that 2300 days, let's nail that first. And where did I put it? In my notes here, looking through my notes here. I guess my notes aren't as, well, I didn't plan on doing this, so my notes aren't what they should be. But if you add up a literal 2300 days, I've got my handy calculator here, and We'll go with a 365-day year because that's an approximate year is 365 days. And over any period of years, because a year would vary by a month. You would have 12-month years and 13th-month years. Let's see, one in every 7 of every 19 would be a 13-month year in the Hebrew calendar. But we'll just go with 365 days. It's a nice round number for a year when we're doing math here. So if we have 2,300 days, okay, 300, how do I do that in math? How many years is 2,300 days? So I go 2,300 divided by 365. That is, if we're going to go with the literal days, that comes out to 6.3 years. So that's about six years and one third would be 4 months. So that's about 6 years and 4 months. 2,300 literal days is 6 years and 4 months. Now, the question we have to ask is, could this prophecy have been fulfilled in 6 years and 4 months? Or could it have been filled in 2,300 days? Well, the translation as 2,300 years, no matter what starting date you use, the end date is not sustainable by the text, in that there is no temple or sanctuary to cleanse or present on the earth. Some attempt to use a heavenly temple with an 1800s date, and specifically, I believe that the Seventh-day Adventists, most of their prophecies come out with an 1800s date, and they use a heavenly temple, and they say to remedy the problem, because of course, if there's no temple on earth, then you have to have a temple somewhere to make it 2,300 years. But the problem with that is that it's not sustainable, in that the sanctuary of the temple and the host of the people, referring to the text, because it says, perhaps I ought to go to that text. Let me open up my Bible there to Daniel and go there. I believe that's Daniel chapter 8 for anyone who's trying to keep up with me. And this may be a little way over most people's heads. I don't know, because most people are just so confused by prophecy. I remember I've been there. I'll just put it that way. Okay, it says, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar. Is that the one we're looking for? Okay, and that's the starting date for the 2,300 days. Okay, so we have to know when the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar was. Well, we know that it was shortly before the proclamation. If we're going with 2,300 years, a few years here and there, it doesn't matter much. Because I'm not trying to pinpoint it. I'm just trying to get a feel to see if we can support a date. So we know that it's just a few years before the proclamation went forth to rebuild Jerusalem. And then we know from there that they had 490 years, the 77s, right? That we got nailed. There's no problem there. So that's a starting date. So if you add that 490 BC, or if you subtract it from the 2,300 years, well, you come up with an 1800s date or something around there, 1800 and something. And that's how they come up with this date in prophecy for the 2,300 years. But like I said, it's not sustainable by the text. Let me read the text here. Okay, Daniel 8:14. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, and the word Arab there, days, dusk, even, night. So those are the days. And I believe that the reason they use this Arab is because it's how the days were determined in the sanctuary, having to do with the sanctuary and the sacrifice and everything. Everything was tied to the transition period of days, between the days. So they use the word Arab there. It says, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And before that, it says, how long? Here's the question. How long shall the vision concerning the daily and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And I guess that goes to beg the question, what is the transgression of desolation that gave both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? Well, that's happened twice. Another term for that is the abomination which maketh desolate. What is that? Well, that's happened twice. It happened once when Babylon came in and destroyed the temple. That was the desolation part. The abomination happened before that, because it's the abomination which maketh desolate. And that Babylon was the sword that God used, that Babylon was the wrecking ball that desolated the temple. It was the abomination that brought it about. And of course, the abomination was the nation of Israel turning against its God and falling into idolatry. That's the abomination, and the desolation followed. So it's the abomination which maketh desolate, and that happened twice. So which one is he talking about here? Well, it certainly wasn't the second one, because we had it again in the time of Yahshua. It was determined. The Messiah prophesied it. He was sitting there in the temple, and he said, not one stone will be left upon another. There was an abomination. It brought about the desolation of Jerusalem, of the nation, and the temple again. Of course, that happened in 70 AD. That's not 2300. No matter how we try to stretch the number 2300, it cannot fit into that time. So that's why they come up with the 2300 years in the future in a temple in heaven, because they have no other option. Of course, there's nothing in the scripture to support that. As a matter of fact, the scripture speaks against it, because it says, the question being, go back to it, how long shall the vision, how long? The vision, the daily. So we got different questions being asked here, put together. The daily and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary. And here's the crux of this question. To give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. Well, presently, at the time that this messenger or angel was speaking to Daniel, guess what? The sanctuary and the host were trodden underfoot, were they not? So it could have applied to that time that they were in. It doesn't apply to a time 2300 years in the future to a spiritual or temple in heaven, because a temple in heaven, the host of the temple, if it's in heaven, cannot be trodden underfoot. And how do they destroy or bring to desolation a temple in heaven? So it doesn't fit. It doesn't work with a temple in heaven. And so he answers the question, and he says, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So if you go over to Ezra, you find out in the sixth year of, and let me find out who that king was here, in the sixth year of Darius, the temple and the wall were finished in the last day of the month of the sixth year. So that means that now if we go back to chapter 8, and we go to in the third year of the reign of Belshazzar. Belshazzar was a governor, because Belshazzar, if you go back and you discern, who was this Belshazzar? Well, the historians say there was no king Belshazzar. Well, they're right, because Belshazzar says himself that he is second in the kingdom. Remember, he offers Daniel third place in the kingdom, which means he was second place. So he was like a under governor. He was of the lineage of the king. So he was set as a ruler in Babylon, but he was not the king. And the word king there doesn't literally mean king, but it means that he was of the royal line, because it can be interpreted both ways, as king or as royal. So he was of the royal line of the king. And of course, who would the king place over his provinces but one of his own kin? So he was of the royal line. He was a nephew or something like that. I forget exactly, but I mean, who really knows exactly to the best of our, but he does declare himself there that he is not first, but he has the second place in the kingdom, because he offers Daniel. And if you go, I think it's back to chapter two or four, one of the earlier chapters where this king is actually killed. So also, as you read through Daniel, have to realize that everything is not in chronological order, because this King Belshazzar of Daniel chapter 8 was already dead if we're going in chronological order. So obviously things are not given in chronological order in Daniel. So that would be another thing that we would have to consider when we're reading through the book of Daniel, because that's why Daniel heads each chapter, or many of the chapters, with a time frame telling you when this happened, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar. Yeah, that king that, or that ruler that I told you about, you know, saw the handwriting on the wall and that he was killed by that, you know, within that day, he was dead because the walls had been breached while he was having a party and using the implements of the temple for his party. And the handwriting, the finger came, and he called everyone. He told Daniel, "I'll make you third ruler in the kingdom," signifying that he was second. So it's interesting to search these things out and to understand who these people were. So anyway, when his kingdom fell, and I'm thinking that it fell that this third year of his governorship over that province, the province of Babylon, was probably his last one, probably within months, because the very next chapter, Daniel says, in the first year of Darius' son. And I'm still searching that out, a time frame for Belshazzar, but I can't find one. So I have to make an assumption here that if I'm going to use the 2300 literal day period, that I have to assume that very quickly Darius, the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seeds of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Very quickly, because I don't have much time if I'm going to use the 2300 literal day year frame, because remember, I have 6 years and 4 months before the cleansing of the temple. But I find out, see, Darius, quickly after the third year, or during the third year of Belshazzar, became king. Then it works for me. Then it works within the 2300 literal day time frame. And since the temple was completed in the last month of the fifth year, or was it? And now I have to find that other scripture. But I realize that that's the only way it can work, is to complete it. And it's the only way I can find in the scripture, if we're using it scripture only to interpret scripture. If we can't find the interpretation in the scripture, then we have to say to ourselves, I don't know. I just can't know that. And is it important that I know? Well, I'll find out one day when I know all things, or perhaps I'll find it in the scripture later, but I haven't found it yet. But this is the only interpretation I found in the scripture that works for the 2300 days, because it says in Ezra, and I believe it's Ezra chapter 6. I'm not sure exactly which chapter it is. I forgot to make a note of that, but it shouldn't take much research if you want to find that out. But it says, in the sixth year of Darius, that the temple was completed and that they dedicated in the last month. And so that would be in the sixth year, because we have 6 complete years in the 2300 days plus 4 months. So we have plenty of time to get the temple fixed and built, and then they had to dedicate it. And there's where the cleansing of the temple comes in, as it says in chapter 8, where it says in verse, in verse 14, it says, "Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed," because they reinstituted the sacrifice. And so there you have an answer. And that's the way that I believe that we should rightly divide the word of God. And if anyone has another, thinks I'm wrong, you have something that you can show me from the Word of God itself, without conjecture, without guessing, but just from the Scripture itself. Because if it's beyond the Scripture, then we are only guessing. And then we have to admit that we don't really know. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.